Blog Talk Radio.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves, and the light, and the light, and the light.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Gospel Light Radio Show. Your host this evening is Stevie R. Butler, and this radio, my co-host will be Tim Bench from the state of Texas, Glenn McMillian from the state of Texas, Robert Lee Johnson from the state of Georgia, Courtney Carruthers from the state of Illinois, Steve Cordell from the state of Florida, Patrick Medlock from the state of Florida, Willie Williams III from the state of Texas, and Clay Phillips from the state of Georgia. Ladies and gentlemen, we're grateful that you're tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ. We'd ask you to take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you would like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, give me a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my co-hosts, you can send me an email to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com. Or you can give me a call to Carolina Studio at 910-491-6405. Now, again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. And if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on the Gospel Light Radio Show.
Oh, here's the man. Send the light.
Send the light,
the blessed gospel light. Let it shine.
Let it shine from shore to shore.
Send the light.
Send the light and let its radiant beams
light the world.
Light the world
forevermore.
Good evening, wherever you are in the world listening to this radio broadcast. Stevie B's Media Production presents the Gospel Light Radio Show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler. And this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we're grateful for the privilege to be able to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask that you would bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father, our Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you will be my co-host on the show this evening, Clay Phillips and Willie Williams III, as they break unto us the bread of life. We pray that you would bless them and their families that support their efforts to continue to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you would bless our listeners this evening. We pray that they may listen well, and we pray that their hearts may be pricked that they consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. And it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to die such a cruel death on Calvary's cross. For we recognize that without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now we ask that you will forgive us for the sins we have committed in our minds and in our bodies, for we know our flesh is weak and we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray you'll continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful until death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Jesus Christ's blessed name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into the broadcast. Our speakers on this evening will be in the first segment my new co-host, Clay Phillips. He's the evangelist from the Rose City Church of Christ in Thomasville, Georgia. He'll be making this proclamation on the gospel of Jesus Christ on the show tonight. And then in the second segment, I have some questions that I've taken from my shout-out platform on social media, Facebook. And I'll be posing two of these questions to my co-host. One of these co-hosts will be Robert Lee Johnson will be answering these questions. And then in the last segment, my co-host Willie Williams III, he'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ to close out the show. So open your Bibles now and open your minds, and let's have a great show. The next voice you hear after the break will be my co-host, Clay Phillips. Enjoy the show.
When God says no, and we won't incest him to the edge,
just remember,
don't forget,
Father knows,
Father knows
what's best. When I lay awake at night, with tears streaming from my eyes, I remember,
remember
God, he knows,
God knows
what's best. The midnight hour, I was crying and all alone, waiting for an answer, and all my hopes gone. I even called on my best friend, and she could not be found. Lord, you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, where are you now? So I went to church the next Sunday morning, looking for my breakthrough. I knew a change would come if I just hold on, 'cause God's word is true. But then the preacher said something, and it took me by surprise. Sometimes God says no, but just like Job, you gotta trust him. When God says no, but when the preacher said it, I didn't quite understand. He said,
don't forget,
just trust your Father, 'cause he knows what's best. When I lay awake in the middle of the night, with tears streaming from my eyes, I remember, Father knows. Because
he
knows,
God, he
Father knows,
what's best.
And I started to feel a little better, 'cause he started talking about my Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and how he prayed to the Father, let this cup pass from me. Then he did just like me, y'all. Said he went to his best friend, and his friends let him down. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you now? You see, sometimes God is moving, and we don't understand. See, Jesus paid the cost when we were lost, and it was all a part of God's master plan. So when you're waiting for that answer and God says no to you, just go ahead and shout,
hey,
and have no doubt,
I'll trust your
Father, that the Father knows
hey,
more than you. When God says no, 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 no,
see,
it's not in man that walketh to direct his own
steps.
That's why I'm trusting in your Father. So when I prayed for that job, and I never get the call, and you prayed for that sick loved one, and they've gone on to that eternal
home.
And when you cried and you prayed and you cried, and you feel there's
nothing left,
just put it in the hands of the Father. And remember, no matter what it is or what it looks like, God, he knows.
God,
yes,
he
knows.
You're listening. listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Now, my co-host Clay Phillips and his subject, A Warning to Our Enemies.
Good evening. I am Brother Clay Lee Phillips, minister of the Rose City Church of Christ. We're located at 20185 Highway 19 North, Thomasville, Georgia. We're so privileged to be able to come and participate in this great event in serving and worshiping on the radio as well as on Facebook, those that are listening to and watching Facebook. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the 6th chapter, 10th through the 17th verse of the book of Ephesians. That's the 6th chapter, chapter 6, commencing with verse 10 and terminating at verse 17 of the book of Ephesians. And we find these words written: "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the scheme of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." I want to use for a subject today, a warning to our enemies. A warning to our enemies. We must understand that we, sooner or later, every believer will discover that the Christian life is a battleground, not a playground. We must understand that we're living in a world that hates those that belong to the Lord. When I was a boy, I remember there was a bully in our neighborhood, and most of us have experienced bullies, and some of us have been bullies. But nevertheless, this bully was always bothering with me. But one day, he was nice to me. And the next few days, he was nice to me. And I was wondering, what was the problem? Why was he bullying me? Why wasn't he bothering me like he used to or normally would do? Then one of my friends told me, so he heard that you was the brother of Russell Sinclair Phillips Jr. Now, my brother was a karate expert. He taught karate, and he was one that participated in challenges, and he was going competitions, and he was a black belt, and he was teaching me at the time how to be and to do karate. And so when this bully found out that I had a brother that he couldn't whoop, then he became and started leaving me alone. Now, the Bible says that the devil believeth. The devil believeth but trembled. So the devil, he knows that he got some issues. He got some problems that he knows. This even that Paul is telling us about the armor of God is letting us know and warning. He's not only giving us encouragement, but he's warning our enemies. Listen, do not bother. These children of God, for they are equipped. And so what I want to do, I want you to know, understand that we're living in a battle. It's not a playground. This is a battleground. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. So we know that we are in a battle. There is a conflict. They are contrary one to the other. So that he cannot do the things that he would. In other words, things that we really trying to do, we find ourselves we can't do because we got a bully on the street, in the neighborhood. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. These are things we're battling with every day, all the time. The devil is throwing at us adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Now lasciviousness is without restriction. I want to do everything I want to do without restriction. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy and murder, drunkenness, reveling and such like. So we find here that we are in a war. And every day the devil is throwing these things at us, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he tell us, give us the contrast. Now, in other words, he tells us, now listen, walk in the spirit, you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But the devil is throwing anything at us. But if you walk in the spirit, it gives us in verse 22, but the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the spirit, let us not walk in this. Let us also walk in the spirit. Let us not be desires of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. So we find here that we are in a war. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. And the verse is number 10. Now let's do some exegetical study here. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now the word finally here actually means from now on. It don't mean end. It means henceforth. Finally. In other words, if we finally have what we need. The armor. I remember watching the movie Glory. How many watched the movie Glory when Denzel wanted to just fight? There was a scene there. He just wanted to fight. He just couldn't get it out of him. He wanted to really fight. And then he wanted a uniform so bad. He wanted shoes to put on his feet. He wanted the gun, and he wanted this. And then he just finally. That's the kind of finalist here. When the uniforms came in, when the guns came in, they were falling down, shooting at one another, pretending they were shooting one another. Finally, we got our equipment. And so when the Apostle Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, finally, in other words, we have our uniform. We decked out. We got, now we have what we need. We got what we desire to have, because the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, you remember in Galatians 3:24, it says, but after that faith, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. Verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Finally! Finally! For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. As for as many that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In other words, finally, we have put on. We got something to put on. Finally, we have something to fight with. It says, finally, my brethren. In other words, we have company. Finally, my brother, we are uniform. Uniformity. Finally, brother, we can be together. He said, finally, therefore, notice in verse 28 of Ephesians, no, Galatians, rather, chapter 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Finally, there is neither bond nor free. Finally, there is neither male nor female. Finally, for you are all one in Christ. You're not talking about the order. It's talking about salvation. We all can be saved in Christ. For if you were Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. Finally! So Paul says here, it goes back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, now we have what we need. Notice now, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now you can be strong in the Lord. You don't have to bow down to the bully. You don't have to bow down to the enemy anymore because finally we have what we need. We got the uniform of God. We have the armor of God. Finally, it is here. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, you say, it was foolish. The Old Testament finished. Finally, we have the equipment that we need. Be strong in the Lord. And what being strong in the Lord means is exaltation here of the mind. It's a mind thing. It's not talking about a physical warfare. It's a mind thing, a mind issue. Be strong, exaltation of the mind. Be strong in the mind. Turn your Bibles now to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I want to commence reading at verse 12. It says, rejoicing in hope. Finally, my brother, we can rejoice in hope. We got hope now. At one time, we didn't have any hope. We was all men most miserable. We didn't have any hope. But finally, rejoice in hope, patient, tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Finally, we don't need the priest to pray for us. We can pray for ourselves. Finally, it says, rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend men of low esteem. Be not wise in our own conceit, in our own estimation. Don't be wise in your own estimation. Finally, he said, now let me explain to you. The Apostle Paul wants to understand what it means to be dressed in the armor of the Lord. It is a mind thing. It's not a physical battle. We're going to learn that. It's not a physical battle. In verse 17 of Romans chapter 12, he says, recompense. He said, no. Well, you can tell a man is dressed properly, spiritually. When one is dressed spiritually properly, you can recognize it, huh? He recompense no man evil for evil. So you're a soldier of the Lord. A soldier of the Lord. He recompense no man evil for evil. He don't repay a man evil for evil. This is a different kind of hunt. Jesus, if my servant was of this world, then would they fight? But my kingdom is not of this world. There's a different kind of world we're talking about here. Finally, we have hope. He said, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Don't make me use my sword. Don't make me use my armor. Don't make me bring out the war in me. Finally, I can protect myself now. I don't need all the old law to try to live right, to try to live to the point where I just can't understand. Paul said, I try to do what's right, but I find myself doing what's wrong. Finally, It's not about the ceremonial law. It's about doing the will of God. It's a mind thing. Verse 19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, said the Lord." Because I got this. I got you just keep on. When someone slapped you, you turn the other cheek. When they ask you for your credit, you just give it to them. Follow it. "I will repay," said the Lord. "Therefore, if thy enemy," this is what you do. This is the army of God. "If thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in doing or in so doing, he shall heap coals of fire upon the head. Be not overcome of evil." Don't get to the point where you just want to get them. "I got to get them." Now, some of us, we know that's this line. He says, "But overcome evil with good." Overcome evil with good. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. The word strong here means true fortitude. True fortitude. It's not deterrent or diverted when danger and difficult come. When danger and difficult come. Finally, my brethren, be strong enough. When difficult times come, don't give up. Don't quit. When people start leaving the Lord, don't quit. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In the power of his might. What do you mean by in the power of his might? You remember Jesus said something very powerful in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. And the verse is 16, Matthew 28 and verse 16. Everybody turn the Bibles now to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16. You find these words written, Matthew 28 and 16. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, in the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And verse 17 says, "And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them and said, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always. Woo! Even to the end of the world. Finally, we can be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Now, we must understand that we have the equipment. Now, when we look at, turn your Bibles to, let me throw this in, Second Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the verses 16. What do we have? What do we have now? What is our sword? What is our nuclear bomb? All scriptures. Woo! That's what we got. We got scriptures now. All scriptures given by inspiration, the breath of God, God's word. It was God's word that said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It was God's word in the beginning that said, "Let the waters be separated from one another," and they did. God's word is more powerful than any two-edged sword. He said, "All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction of righteousness." Notice now in verse 17, "that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." In other words, he's complete. He had the equipment. He finally got his uniform. He finally got his boots. He finally got his colors. He finally got all of it. Woo! He finally is a soldier now. I'm a soldier now. I'm a soldier? Yes. We're soldiers now. He said, "Now, since you're a soldier," verse 11 said, "put on the whole armor of God." Since you're a soldier, put on the whole armor of God. Now, why did Paul address to put on the whole armor of God? Because he wanted us to understand and consider the danger to which we are exposed. to. We are exposed to Lucifer, the devil. You remember Job? The devil says, since it, God, you, the only reason he's serving you because you put a hedge around him. God said, but go do what you got to do. Job stood his ground. Then came back and said, and the only reason he's doing what he's doing because skin for skin. And if you, I guarantee you, touch his flesh, he'll curse you in the face. Go do what you got to do. Do it. Job said, naked came out in the world, and naked shall I leave. Woo! Look at Job. Job said, I came with nothing. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. I put on the whole arm of God. His wife turned around and said, honey, come here to me. Let me tell you, sweetheart. Curse that God and die? Job said, you must don't know. The promise of Jesus reached back all the way to Adam. It's going to reach as far as man continued to multiply. Put on the whole arm of God. Why? Because you need to consider. You need to understand the danger in which we are exposed. Listen, the devil hates us. The devil is mightier than us. The devil has his own armor. He got an army himself. He's near us. He's invisible. He is an artful enemy. He knows what to do. He's more powerful than all of us. That's why we have to have the armor of God. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and the verse is number 13. And we find these words written, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Look at the devil now. Look at what we're exposed to. False apostles, deceitful workers, transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, in other words, don't marvel about this. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The devil, consider what we got. And 1 Peter, turn your Bibles now to 1 Peter. Let me show you something. 1 Peter chapter 5. Everybody turn your Bible now. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I want to commence reading at verse number 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. It says, humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hands of God. So when you put on this whole armor of God, you must understand now, because you got the armor on, you must understand that that armor protects you. But listen, it is God that moves you. Humble yourself in the mighty hands of God, that you may be able to stand. Cast all your cares upon him. Notice in verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's just bullying you. He's bullying you. The devil is bullying you. He's going at you, the enemy. God said, let me warn the enemy. Let me warn him. Now, that's my child you bothering with. Let's go by the Ephesians chapter 6. He said, put on the whole armor of God and be that you may be able to stand against. Amen? That you may be able to stand against. Now, there's some things that you got to learn to stand against. As a Christian, we must learn that we are able to stand against some things. What are we willing not to do? See, the Christian, we're talking about what we're willing to do. We got to ask ourselves sometimes in the military, what are you willing not to do? There's some things you need to understand you just cannot do. Turn your Bibles to, let's go back to the Old Testament. Psalms chapter 1. Let's look at Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 1, I'm going to read verse 1, 2, and 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is on the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, brings forth its fruit in the season, leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he does, he shall prosper. Are you listening to me? Whatsoever he does, he'll prosper. Now, look at this. The book of Psalms here, David is saying, he said, there's something, sometimes you just got to be able to make choices. Two things you need to do, make choices and decisions. He says, to be happy, true happiness, listen to me, true happiness is the product of denying ourselves of certain things. See, we think happiness is, oh, I can get this, or I can be this, or I can go get this, or true happiness. The Bible says, David is telling us, listen, he said true happiness, Solomon is telling us true happiness, David taught is true happiness, the Bible is saying true happiness, God is telling, blessed, what blessed me, happy is the man that walketh not. Hello? There are three choices here in verse 1. He said, he's telling us, he said, number one, I want you to understand, I'm going to give all three of them, and I'll come back and talk about it for a minute. He said, number one, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Number two, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Number three, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But now notice now we have here, we have choices. If you're going to be happy, you got to make choices to stop doing certain things. Hello. Stop doing certain things. Number two, stand against. My grandfather told me, son, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So here the psalmist is telling us, he's saying, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So we live here, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What does this mean? It's who are you listening to? Who are you listening? Don't listen to everybody that say they're a preacher, the child of God. Don't listen to everybody that talk about the man I've been called. He said, don't listen to everybody. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, I know we use this scripture out of context, and it means marriage, but we'll talk about that later. And it can refer to marriage, because you shouldn't marry outside of the Lord anyway. So it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And who are you listening to? And what concord? The word concord here means harmony. Or what music are you listening to? What song are you dancing with? Who are you slow dragging with? And what concord have Christ with Balaam? Or what part have he that believeth with an infidel or an unbeliever? And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from amongst them. In other words, you got to be courageous to make a choice to come out from amongst them. You got to be strong enough to say, I'm not going to do this. I'm coming out from amongst them. Who are you listening to? Man, come on, hang out with me. Let's smoke the hemp. Can't have that. Can't smoke the hemp. Well, come on, let's go drink that. Can't do that because God don't want me to do that. Make a decision. Nor standeth in the way of the sinner. What do you mean by standing in the way of a sinner? To go along with negative people. There are some folks you just get out of your life. negative people. You got to get them out of your life. Hello? You just got to get rid of some people. Some people are not worthy to be in your life. Hello? It says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, what does that mean? Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In other words, values. What do you value? If you're sitting in the seat of the scornful, that means, listen, I value what you value. I value what you value. And then let's go back to Psalms chapter 1, verse 2. He says, but delight in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And the word delight here means to love or to treasure, to delight in the law of the Lord. To love, to treasure, to be a part of. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, turn your Bibles down to 1 John chapter 2. I'll write this down. Write this down. 1 John chapter 2. And the verse is number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So here are the treasure, the love. What do you love? Who do you love? You cannot serve two. Who do you love? What do you love? Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Let's look at the treasure here. Let's get some treasure here. Now, I believe I got about 5 minutes, I believe. Matthew chapter 13, and the verse is number 44. Matthew 13, 44. Turn your Bible over there. Now, understand now, his delight is a law of the Lord. In other words, what does he love? What does he treasure? The Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field. When a man have found, he hide it. In other words, when you find a treasure, you don't tell everybody because they'll rob you of your treasure. But he says, and for joy, therefore, go up and sell it all that he hath and buy the field. Hello? You have to learn to restrain yourself. There's some things you have learned to do. Buy the field. In verse 45 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found the pearl of a great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. In other words, you give all to God. When you put on the whole armor of God, it's just as you're in the military. You are not a civilian anymore. You are a soldier. When you come into the kingdom of God, you are a soldier in the army of the Lord. And the enemy must be warned. He knows. When you dress in the armor of God, he knows. He knows. Then it says in meditate. I like what it says here. I like what it says. It says, and he meditate. Notice now, back to Psalms 1. But his delight is on the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Now, the word meditate here originated to mean to think about. It's also derived in the etymological study, means a dull sound. It's as if when you are prepared. Like when I go in my office and prepare to preach, I have music in the background. I listen to some things that I might not need to tell you all. I like to hear Teddy Pendergrass, and I like to hear Marvin Gaye. I shouldn't be telling you this. And then I listen to gospel songs. And I listen to gospel songs. Sometimes I just listen to just music. And so here he says meditate. In other words, God is, in everything you do, He, you can hear him in your studies. You can hear him on your job. When you're walking down the street, they can hear the meditation. We call it glowing. You can hear the meditation. Have you ever come up to somebody in their car and they're just bouncing in your head, but you can't hear the music, but after a while you just start bouncing and along with them because you don't even hear the music. He says, I want you to understand. Then meditate. So turn, look at Psalms. Let me wrap this up now. I think I have about 3 minutes here. Psalms, you know how preaching minutes are. Psalms 19. Psalm 19, verse 7. Everybody turn your Bible now. Psalm 19 and verse number 7. Wow, this is powerful. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. This is what you meditate on. This is what's in your background. This is what's behind you. This is that dull sound. The music in the background. The law of the Lord is perfect. I can hear that. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Making wise the simple. The statute of the Lord aright. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Enlighten the eyes. Man, enemy, you need to be warned. You don't want to bother a child of God. The fear of the Lord is clean, endeavoring forever, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous all together. What do you mean by all together? United. It doesn't make any difference what you put it in. It's going to taste good. Have you ever had some food that they don't care what you had, it tastes good? Well, God is a what? He's on the cook. When a cook cooks and can cook, it doesn't matter what they cook, it tastes good. God's word is cooking in our heart, and it tastes good. More to be desired, come on, the word of God, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than fine gold, sweeter than honeycomb, more over. By them, it says, it warned the serpent. When you start stepping out of line, it warned you. The word of God said, hey, come back. And keep them. There is a great reward. It cleanses me from secret thoughts. And you know what? You think about it now. It says, I like what it says. It says, who can understand his error? In other words, who can? Son, why you do that? I don't know. Daughter, why you do that? I don't know. Paul said, I don't know why I do what I do, but I do it. That's what I shouldn't be doing. I found myself doing that. What I should be doing, I don't do. I don't know. I don't know why I do what I do. Woo! But then lastly, I want you to understand this. Verse 3 says, in Psalms 1, verse 3, I love it. I love it. Verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree. Now, this is the warning to the enemy. Shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. Leaf shall not wither. All it does, he shall prosper. You can't harm God's man, God's people. What we become after we suffer and go through issues. What we become when the bully you and you what you become? You're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Bring forth its fruit in its season. In other words, everything don't happen when you want it to happen. And let me throw this out there and then you can deal with it later. The church members are arguing about who should become first, the elder or the deacon or the deacon or the elder. Listen, I think that it's a fruit of the church. Which one right? You pick it. If corn season, pick the corn. If it's a deacon season and you got men in the church that are able to be deacons, pick the deacons. If you got men in the church that be an elder, pick the elder. It's season time. I'm your speaker, Brother Clay Phillip. Now, remember this. You got to keep it real. You must hear the gospel, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's fruit season. If you got men in the church ready, you should have elder first. If you got four men that are ready to be deacons, fruit season, make them deacons. If you got two men ready to be elders, make them elders. But you got to have elder, brother, deacon, for I don't read that in my Bible. All I know is it's fruit season. May God bless you. Remember this. Keep it real.
Is your congregation in need of lending for a building or expansion project? As your partner and advocate, Diversified Financial Network will take the time to understand your unique situation and develop a financing solution that meets your specific needs. It's an exciting time for your congregation, and what you need is a company with expertise in church financing early in the process. Call us today at 1-866-513-6665. Or visit us at www.diversifiedfinancegroup.com.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you would like to have your events or activities announced on this radio broadcast, please contact me at the Carolina Studio at 910-491-6405. Or you can send me an email to ButlerSteve1009@yahoo.com. On August the 4th through the 9th, 2019, the Northside Church of Christ will be the official host of the 2019 Florida State Lectureship of the Churches of Christ in conjunction with the Jacksonville, Florida congregations. The Newburgh Church of Christ, located in Louisville, Kentucky, is currently seeking a full-time minister. So please submit all inquiries to the newburghcoc@gmail.com. Candidates will be forwarded a job description and application packet. Completed applications should be submitted along with the candidate's resume, reference to doctrinal philosophies, and a sample of audio, video, recorded sermons. The Deep River Church of Christ, located in High Point, North Carolina, is seeking a full-time evangelist due to the recent retirement of one of their other evangelists. The ideal candidate will be outreach focus with a desire to win souls and his keen ability to appeal well to a cross-cultural audience. For a copy of the full job description, visit the homepage of the website at www.deepriverchurchofchrist.org. To apply, send a resume, a cover letter, and the three professional references to the Deep River COC at Triad. On May the 3rd through the 5th, 2019, the Ladies Prayer Warrior Church of Christ presents Broken to be Blessed. The venue will be at the Hilton Garden Inn in Atlanta Airport North, and that address is 3437 Bobby Brown Parkway, Atlanta, Georgia, 30344. The telephone number for more information is 1-888-889-9677. On April the 21st through the 25th, 2019, the 2019 Churches of Christ National Lectureship, and tonight will be the last night of this lectureship. And the theme is From Tragedy to Triumph, Exploring Man's Fall and God's Call to Redemption. And the venue will be the Marriott St. Louis Grand Hotel, net address 800 South Washington Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri, 63101. For booking information, please call 314-621-9600. And just a program reminder, Stevie B's Media Production is airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio the first Monday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show Special Edition. And one of my co-hosts will be airing a topic that is selected from our listening audience. And on Tuesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, What a Word from the Lord radio show. And each week on that broadcast, I'll be having a special guest speaker from the Brotherhood of the Churches of Christ who will be presenting a lesson from the Word of God. Also, we have the Community Corner segment, and this segment is for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services that they are offering to our community. And also my co-host, Edward Bishop from Niagara Falls, New York, he will be presenting a lesson every other week on that show as well. And then on Thursday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show. And I have 8 co-hosts who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. And each week I have 2 co-hosts who will be on the air with me. I'm also taking questions from my Shout It Out platform on social media and posing these questions to my co-hosts during the show. Also on Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast Radio Show. And once a month, the first Friday of every month, we are having a Story Glory segment where I interview artists. And the upcoming interview that we have scheduled for May the 3rd would be the group Rain from Tampa, Florida. And we're also debuting new music on the show. The next scheduled debut that we have is for June the 21st by the group Called by God Acapella Ensemble out of Nashville, Tennessee. And we're also featuring old music on the show as well. We're also featuring the Top 20 Countdown Show. And my next scheduled Top 20 Countdown Show is on May the 17th. I'll be counting down my Top 20 Acapella Gospel Songs for the month of May. And once a quarter, we're doing the Marathon Show. That's a 3-hour show for whatever artist or group that we're featuring on that show. And the next scheduled Marathon Show is this Friday night. We'll be featuring Eric Gwynn. He will be live on the show with us, and we'll be celebrating with Eric his 30 years singing acapella gospel music. So please tune in to that show this Friday night. If you are an artist and you would like to have your music played on any of my radio shows, please submit your MP3 formatted track via Dropbox to my email address, srbutler1009@yahoo.com. You can now listen to all my shows, on-demand episodes by my affiliate internet stations. If you're not able to catch the live shows, which, by the way, we will be airing these live shows now here on Facebook Live, on Blog Talk Radio as well. You can listen to these on-demand episodes if you cannot catch the live shows through my affiliate internet stations, through Spotify, through iHeartRadio, through Apple iTunes, through ACARadio.net, through iWave Radio, through MCCBroadcasting.com, through IVCBroadcasting.com. You can also go to YouTube, see my YouTube channel, Stevie R. Butler, a.k.a. Stevie B. And just, you can also go to the Church TV Network on YouTube and see their playlist, Acapella Radio. You'll be able to see these on-demand episodes. You can also go to the World of Acapella site. And you can also go to my website, Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com, to see these on-demand episodes, and just type my name, Stevie R. Butler, in the search bar. I want to thank all of my sponsors for sponsoring these radio shows. My sponsor, Sharon Norwood, she's from Chicago, Illinois, and her company is called Organo, and her slogan is a health product for healthier living. And my sponsor, Bethesda Memorial Funeral Services, they're out of DeSoto, Texas. Certainly appreciate them. And my sponsor, Stanley Phillips. He's the owner of A Touch of Class of Pearl out of Little Rock, Arkansas. And my sponsor, C.J. Colson. Her company is called Eutherpin Health Institute, and she's from Monument, Colorado. And also my sponsor, Diversified Financial Network, LLC, out of Dallas, Texas. And the owners, Mark and Charlotte Carroll. Certainly appreciate them for sponsoring these radio shows. And the 3 E's of Stevie B's media production, it is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate, we want to edify, and we want to encourage you in a study of God's Word. And that will conclude my program announcements. You're listening to the Gospel Light radio show. Stay tuned. Somebody. You're listening to the Gospel Light radio show. Now, this is the portion of the broadcast where I have some questions that I've taken from my Shout It Out platform on social media. And I want to encourage our listeners to go to my Facebook. No, I go to my Facebook page, but go to my Shout It Out platform on Facebook and join that group called Shout It Out and get involved in some of those biblical discussions. Now, the first question that I have is for my co-host, Robert Lee Johnson. Ladies and gentlemen, he's live on his Facebook page, and you can see Robert Lee Johnson at this moment. He's getting ready to answer this first question we have from my social media platform. How you doing, my brother?
I'm wonderful. How about you?
You know, I can see you on Facebook now. You know I'm looking at you, right?
Well, you know that's a good thing.
I know that's right.
That's a good thing.
All right, now here you go. Here's the first question that we have for you. This question is from an anonymous querist from the state of Texas. And the question is, were the animal sacrifices considered to be worship? Were the animal sacrifices considered to be worship? What say you to this question?
Thank you, Stevie. A great question, and good evening, radio listeners. We're proud to have you. Today, we trust that the Word of God will be beneficial to you as you listen to this broadcast. We're thankful to Stevie for putting all this together so that we can share it with those who are interested in learning God's truth. I want to thank my minister, Brother Clay Phillips. A wonderful job. That's a wonderful example of a preacher who deals with the text, and he brought out so many great points. Thank you, Brother Phillips. God bless you and your family. Now, the way I want to deal, Stevie, are you hearing me okay?
Yeah, I hear you just fine.
Okay, thank you. I want to deal with this question from the example we have in the Bible in Genesis chapter 4. And there we find that the Bible says very plainly, it talks about Cain and Abel, and it talks about their worship. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." In Genesis 4:1. And then we look at 4:2. The Bible says, "And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time," the Bible says, "it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect," get that word now, "and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering," the Bible says, "he had not respect." And the Bible says, "and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well," the Bible says, "sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." So looking at this particular reading and looking at the word of God, we have to say, and let me ask this question: did God reject Cain's sacrifice simply because he did not give his best? Or was it because it was not a blood sacrifice like Abel's? Did God require an animal sacrifice, that is a bloody sacrifice, on this occasion? the record of Cain's rejection, the record of Cain's sacrifice that he offered to God, and the fact that God did not accept his offering. The Bible says that in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and offered unto Jehovah, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and God had respect, listen to this now, God had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance failed. Here in Genesis 4, 3, and 5, both offered to God. So this is worship. They worship God. Abel brought what he desired. Cain brought what the word required. Here are the facts, as recorded by Moses. Both Cain and Abel came to worship before Almighty God. Both brought a sacrifice, which is what worship is offering a sacrifice up to God. But there was a difference. Cain brought a sacrifice of the fruit of the ground. His offering, listen, friends, was a bloodless sacrifice. However, Abel brought forth a bloody sacrifice, and the Bible says, and the fat thereof. This man did it. Abel in no way tried to cheat God. Preach, Johnson. He didn't. He did not cheat God. The result of their worship before the Lord was that Jehovah, the Bible says, Jehovah had respect unto Abel and his offering, but he did not have respect towards Cain nor towards his offering. Now you ask the question today, Brother Johnson, why was that? Moses' record makes it easy to understand what the problem was. Listen now. The written account specifically denotes the differences between their offering. One was fruit or produce. The other was a blood-bearing sacrifice. So to answer the question, is the bloody sacrifice an offering? Yes. Is it worship? Yes. According to the Bible, it is. The Hebrew writer makes it even more clear. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witnessed, born to him that he was righteous, God witnessed in respect of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, yet speaking. When you do right, God will hear what you're saying. When you do right, God will witness to your sacrifice, your worship, because that's what God ordered. Now, if Cain did not offer his gifts, his worship unto God by faith, then how did he worship? The opposite of faith is by sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 7. The Bible says, for we walk not by faith, or rather not by sight, but by faith. We are worshipers of a God who has given us his word, and we must abide by the word of God. Cain worshiped God according to sight, according to feeling, according to what he wanted or how he wanted to worship God. And as a result of that, God refused to accept his worship. And so I'm saying tonight, if you're going to worship God, you must worship him according to his will and his way. The Bible refers to Abel's offering as an excellent sacrifice. And as long as it's excellent in the sight of God, it does not matter how man looks at it. May I say tonight, faith is not simply a feeling of confident expectation. Simply because you feel good in giving God something does not mean that God has to accept it. Look at all of the things that men do today in their worship to God. And it's in the same vein that Cain's was. You cannot worship God your way. We must worship God according to his will and his way. The same principle can be applied to faith. To believe God and not obey God is to not believe him. James said the other day, faith apart from works is dead. James chapter 2 and verse number 26. Let me tell you something, good friends. When you read the Bible, there's nothing more important than man's attempt to worship God. And so I'm saying to you that we must worship God according to his will and his way. In Romans 10:17, the Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what Abel did. He heard God's word. He heeded the word of God, and he obeyed God. Abel's offering was by faith. Hebrews 11 and verse number 4. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Therefore, Abel offered his sacrifice by hearing and obeying the word of God. The animal sacrifices were according to the will of God. That's what God willed. That's what God asked for. And as a result of that, God received those as worship in that particular dispensation of time. As I close tonight, in Psalms 19:13, there's a warning for all of us. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be clear from the great transgression. Friends, listen to God. Listen to his word. If you're worshiping God in a place, and you have added to the worship service, that's a very dangerous position for you to be in. I cannot find in the New Testament where God commanded the use of mechanical praise to him. I trust that you will read the Bible and turn to God and allow God to be your guide. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you so much. God bless you. Thank you, Stevie.
Thank you, my brother, for that fine answer. Ladies and gentlemen, after we come back from the break, we'll have a presentation from my co-host, Willie Williams III from the state of Texas. You're listening to the Gospel Light radio show.
You opened my eyes, made me to see.
Every morning,
brand new mercy, great God of Zion,
mighty to save,
and forever.
More than I could
listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Now, my co-host, Willie Williams III, and his subject, Strange Fire.
I want to say good evening to each and every one of you. My name is Willie B. Williams III, the minister of the North Colony Church of Christ. Tonight, I want to share just a short lesson with you that hopefully that will encourage you in your walk with God. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, beloved. There are other translations that say, dear friends. It is as if the apostle is reaching out to someone, those who are close to him and those who are walking with God and striving to walk with God, that there's something that you need to understand. There's something that needs to be clear. There's something that you need to be able to receive on your journey with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, beloved, our dear friends, don't be surprised. Don't think it not strange at the fiery trials, at the fiery sufferings. Don't be shocked when you go through this life and trouble comes. Matter of fact, some people face trials, some people face troubles. But the Apostle Peter, he didn't just say you would have trouble or you would have suffering. He said that your suffering would be fiery. There's going to be an intense amount of heat going to have to experience when you walk with God. And the Bible says, he says, don't think it's strange. Sometimes when we go through life and we go through certain circumstances, we get shocked and we get mad and we get frustrated. We say, God, I've been a good person. God, you know, I don't mess with anybody. I haven't bothered anybody. I'm really a good person. Punish other people, but don't punish me. There are other people who are worse than me. God, why is this happening to me? And Peter says, wait a minute, take the shock off of your face. You're going to face, it doesn't matter how nice you've been, how kind you've been. It doesn't matter what good works you do. You can't avoid not just the suffering, but you can't avoid the fiery suffering, the fiery trial. Don't look at what you're going through as strange fire. This is familiar fire. The Bible warns us, you're going to go through suffering. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through difficulty. So he says, dear friends, oh, beloved, Don't be surprised. Don't think it's strange by the troubles coming. Matter of fact, I like one translation that says, don't be surprised by the fiery troubles that are coming in order to test you. Don't feel. This scripture, verse 12, is referring to your emotional response to life. Don't feel as though something strange is happening to you and you become dumbfounded. Matter of fact, your disposition to the world is, no, I understand, trouble comes. Well, why does trouble come? Trouble comes because trouble came to Jesus. And because you decided to walk with Jesus, how is it that Jesus can face trouble but you don't? How is it that Jesus can be persecuted but you don't? He says, you have to understand, if you become a disciple of Jesus Christ, what he faced, you're going to have to face. What he experienced, you're going to have to experience. So he says this in verse 13. Don't act shocked. Verse 13 says this. But rejoice that you get the opportunity to share in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed at the revelation of his glory. Now, why should I get excited about the sufferings of Christ? I get excited about the sufferings of Christ because if I get the opportunity, notice it's a privilege. if I get the opportunity to share in the sufferings of Christ, then I also get the opportunity to share in the glory. Now, where does Jesus sit right now? He sits on the right-hand side of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if he sits on the right-hand side of our Lord and Savior, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. I'm preparing a room for you. Now, if Jesus was preparing a room for you, if you suffer like Christ, if you can go through your troubles with joy, then you get to partake in the glory of Jesus Christ when he returns. You get to be in the Father's house. You get to participate in all of the glory that Jesus has for his children. So here's how I want you to fix your mind. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you're experiencing. If you can continue to walk with Jesus Christ and rejoice, then you get to partake. I realize this. I used to play football, and one of the things in playing football, you had to go to practice. One of the things I realized is that practice was brutal. But you didn't get a chance to suit up for the game if you never showed up at practice. I want to let you know that what you're going through right now is practice. Showtime is in the Father's house. Heaven is the reality. The world is the practice. If you can't learn to suffer with Christ here, how can you enjoy the victory of heaven there? He says, there's a song that we used to sing a long time. This is just rehearsal. There's an old song we used to sing. This is just a rehearsal. And when we get to heaven, we're going to really sing. But if you can't sing here, how are you going to sing there? If you don't even show up for a rehearsal, some of you have checked out of life because you've had too many troubles and too many setbacks and people have talked about you and now you just won't quit. You got out of the ministry that you've been in at your church because you say everybody's messy. But if you don't learn how to endure, if you're not an overcomer, God can't use you. So I want to encourage you. I want you to stay hold fast to God's unchanging hand. Don't quit. I know practice is hard. I know you're ready to go home. I know they're talking about you and there's bills and all kind of stuff, but I want you to hold on. If you hear, if you understand my voice and you're not a child of God, I want you to believe that Jesus loved you so much. He died on the cross. He suffered so that you can have victory. He's asking for you to pick up your cross. In order for you to respond to the gospel call of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you have to be willing to believe that he died for you, that he was buried, and that he rose again. I want you to notice the three phases of the gospel. First, there is a death. There was trouble. Then there's a burial. But then there is a resurrection. Just as Jesus died, he's asking for you to be baptized and be born again. And the burial and the resurrection, that the trials that you go through, whatever you face, you have to know this. In the end, there is a resurrection. There is the glory. There are the promises of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you'll be willing to believe that with your heart, repent of your sins and confess he is the Son of God. The Bible says in Matthew 10:32-33, whoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. If you'll be willing to do that. And Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You have the opportunity to receive the promise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You get eternal salvation today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. You get eternal salvation today. You just got to hold on. I pray that you will be encouraged. I pray that you will all be blessed. Don't be shocked when trouble comes today. Don't be shocked when trouble comes tomorrow. But when it comes, have a smile on your face and know that it is Jesus Christ that is with you, watching you, and preparing to give you the reward of enduring on this side of life. Be blessed.
I'm going to keep on climbing this mountain. I'm somebody out there.
Though the storm winds blow,
having trials and
I'm
tribulation, I just want to encourage you.
Keep moving on.
I need somebody who's been through something. Help me now.
I've had some ups and downs, some hard times in my life.
I've had to wipe so many tears from my weeping eyes.
I know the pain will last only for a night.
That's why I'll hold on till the morning light. You see the suffering we're going through, it don't compare to the dreads that wait for us all the day. Gotta keep on climbing, though sometimes we make it hard. But we ain't gonna stop till we reach the top. The devil tries to make us think there is no way out. Maybe you lost someone that was close to you.
Maybe you're sick and there's nothing you can do.
Oh yeah.
Just keep your eyes to the sky. When times get hard, keep pressing toward the prize.
Oh, you see, I try. They will last for long.
They
will last.
They only make them
so
long.
They gotta keep on.
To the Gospel Light Radio Show, episode 142.
Breaking you down inside. Hope every day is fading. 'Cause you ain't one in a while, lost your vision and you just stopped dreaming. But there's power in me.
There's so much power.
As a man thinks, so is he. But you just gotta believe.
Don't stop.
Give that His grace reaches me and I'm guided by His hand. Said I'm led by the Spirit and His kingdom is in me. I'ma praise Him for His power and His glory, victory.